Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. You already know what time it is. It's that official time. When we take this worldwide. Let's go. Listen. So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's a mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go! Listening to the Pancakes and Power Slam Show by Crave Wrestling on Blog Talk Radio. Be sure to follow Crave Wrestling on Twitter at Crave Wrestling and join the Facebook fan page Crave Wrestling.
Hello, Chris.
You are now listening to the Pancakes and Power Slam Show, hosted by Chris Featherstone and Derek of Crave Wrestling. This is the new Tuesday Night Titans.
Power Slam.
You are now listening to the Pancakes and Power Slam Show, hosted by Chris Featherstone and Derek of Crave Wrestling. This is the new Tuesday Night Titans.
I can hear the Tuesday Night Titans, but that's it. Common man, working hard with his hands. Tennessee Titans draft John Manziel, not draft him, they trade him. Cleveland trades him to the Titans. That's what they deserve. I got my long sideburns and my hair slicked back. I'm coming to your town in my pink Cadillac. I'm just a honky tonk man. I'm cool, I'm cocky, I'm bad. Here comes the axe, here comes the smasher, a demolition, walking disaster, pain and destruction is not his name. We are the Rougeau Brothers. We're like no other. Don't remember the theme song, but it won't take long. Deuce and Domino. Let's get this thing going. Turn up the show. Pancakes and Power Slams. Said, hey, lady, spend the night at my house. She said, no way, you jive little mouse. Said, hey there, baby, can't take no more. She threw me on the floor, and I feel you fall, singing drive so, bro. A jive so, bro, and it always got me the bang. I think I'm cute. I know I'm sexy. I got the look. Jive the girls while I got the moves. Not really move them. Buy some chills up and down their spine. All right, technical difficulties, ladies and gentlemen. We'll have to get back with you here in a second. And you're always lying to your friends.
Check 1, 2. There we go. All right, live. Let me know if you can hear me. Let me know. I think that was what was needed to get everything together. Let me know, listening audience, if I can be heard now. Because I think that's what was needed to get myself together here. And now I think I'm all set. Let me know. Hear me. Let me know if I can be heard live. I think that was the issue now. I think we are good. Are we good? Are we good? All right. I'm hearing. All right. There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, now we are good and we are live and in living color. And we are getting funky like a monkey, if you will. All right, so that's great. That's great that I got it fixed. All right, so we got some fun tonight. So here's the thing, everybody who's listening, this is a memory lane, a stroll back memory lane episode. Okay, so 201 episodes. I have no interviews today on purpose, okay? Oh, thank you, loud and clear. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for your patience. I have a studio and changed locations, and I have a studio in my house. So we had to make a couple of adjustments. And I am here now. I was explaining last week. I had bronchitis during the Billy Gunn interview, and I was struggling. And I was toughing it out during the interview. Ended up feeling worse than I did after the show, vomiting and all types of diarrhea and nausea and clammy. Wednesday, I was just, felt like I was sweating all day and feeling clammy. Just felt horrible. And, so I got to hospital, was in hospital, and got some medication. Been taking it all week. Got a short cough. You still got a cough, but feel so much better this week than I did last week. So, but, Even though I felt horrible last week, who cannot feel bad? Who cannot feel good when you're interviewing Billy Gunn? And he was very thankful for the interview. It was absolutely amazing. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Derek, we are here and we are live. How about that, man? We are all set.
Yeah. We are live. Here we are, ladies and gentlemen. And again, last week, Billy Gunn
forget about it. I mean, that was probably one of the best interviews I think we've had on Pancakes and Power Slams, if I've ever heard in my whole life. Great job, Chris. Episode 200 last week. I mean, it took up a whole hour and a half, which we always do, because, again, 90 minutes is never enough. But, I mean, Billy Gunn just enriched everybody with so much just stories and knowledge. He was laughing, having a great time. And we were having a great time for you, unfortunately. But, you know, you were having a great time, but, you know, under the weather, sick. But, you know, the world and the wrestling world needed that interview to hear what he's got to say after being released. And hopefully he gets back on and just, you know, turns the wrestling world upside down. He's too young to not have another impact the way he did. So, again, hats off. Episode 201, Pancakes and Power Slam.
Well, he's 52 years old, so he didn't got too much left. But he still looks great. I mean, he looks great for 52. And, you know, you saying that he's, you know, can wrestle. He can still wrestle like he's in his 30s, and he looks like it, too. Random side note, Duke won. I'm a big Duke fan, Duke basketball fan. And for the first time in 9 years, we fell out of the top 25, and that was a travesty for me, because I'm a big Duke fan. And last year we won the daggone thing, we won the whole thing, and for that to happen, just to drop out and just to go on such a embarrassing streak. Well, you know, this today we lose against, you know, at first it's Clemson, then it's Notre Dame, and it's just. It was really tough to endure that type of losing streak as a Duke fan. But we're doing our best to rebound. We're clawing and scratching our way to, yeah, at this point, we don't even care if it's a 16th seed. We want to be in the tournament. So we're trying, you know, my hopes is that we'll impress on the ACC tournament, and that we will have a impressive enough showing. We don't have to necessarily win the whole tournament, but we'll have an impressive enough showing that we'll at least get a 16 seed, so we shouldn't have any problems there. But, yeah, we beat Georgia Tech today, and it felt good. It felt good, Derek. I know that you're an Ohio State fan. I'm a diehard Ohio State football fan, but you know I'm a Duke basketball fan, and it feels tough. It's real tough to try to endure my Duke Blue Devils losing the way that we are.
Well, I mean, you know what happens. That's what sports is. I'm not a huge basketball fan. I do enjoy Ohio State basketball, but they're not doing that great this year either. So, I mean, I guess we're kind of on the same boat. And, you know, we got the Super Bowl to look forward to this weekend. So, you know, we'll see where that goes. I can't stand Brock Elway's ugliest person I've ever seen in my life. I like Peyton Manning. Cam Newton, I'm still hot and cold with him. The Carolina Panthers just aren't. They're still a new football team to me, even though they've been around 20 years now. I don't know. I just hope it's a great game and it's close and it's not a blowout for either side. And if this is Peyton Manning's last swan song, so be it.
I agree. I hope so. Let's get some predictions from the live crowd, from the live audience. Who do you think? Who do you got winning? Carolina or Denver Broncos? Like I said with the Prince Puma interview and with Billy Gunn, I'm an AFC guy. I'm a Tennessee Titans fan, and you know, I've said that many times here on this show. Derek has made fun of that many times on this show, rightfully so. And Tennessee Titans. Yeah, Tennessee Titans deserves actually one of these. Yeah, unfortunately, that basically describes the Tennessee Titans. We haven't been anybody of worth in quite some time, but it looks like we may get Joey Bosa. So, I'm a huge Ohio State fan. So Ohio State coming to Tennessee, that fits well for me, but. I'm an AFC guy, minus the Patriots and the Colts, and because of that, I'm going for Denver, but It's a win-win for me because I respect Cam Newton and because he had to really call and scratch and just being in the position that he was. I mean, even when he was in Auburn, you know, he was in Florida and then he went to Auburn and won a national championship and you know just the road that he was in Auburn, you know. So because of that, you know, I respect Cam Newton. I respect what he does. I respect his game. So if Carolina wins, it's Carolina. It's a team that's never had that experience before. So that would be fine for me. And then of course if Denver wins, you know, it's Peyton swan song and Peyton Manning. Please don't come back next year if you all win. Please don't. I will say if you don't win too, but I know that you might have one more left in you if you try. You know, if you don't win, but I'm saying you know you got yourself this far. I think either way you shouldn't come back next year. Peyton Manning should be Peyton Manning would be a very good journalist. He would be a good commentator. So, yeah, this year. Who we got? Let's see. Carolina, Denver. So, comments, it says, my Cowboys deserve one too, sad to say. I cannot stand the Dallas Cow. I call them the Cowgirls. You know, don't disrespect the women because I think the Cowgirls. You know what? The Cowgirls actually may be a compliment to them. The Cow Duds. How about that? The Dallas Cow Duds. And nice comment there. As far as somebody's taking offense of my Cow Duds comment there. someone say I only know one NFL and one NFL team, the Patriots. That's even worse. I mean, almost just as bad. I mean, they're both just as bad actually. But, all right, so ladies and gentlemen, enough Super Bowl talk. Let's talk wrestling. We're trying to we're trying to make it all-inclusive this episode because just the wrestling, you know, the WWE wrestling world has been very lackluster. However, last week we didn't talk too much about the Royal Rumble. So let's talk a little bit about the Royal Rumble. Let's talk a little bit about The Rock on Raw. Starting with the Royal Rumble, you know, I think this is probably one of the best Royal Rumbles that we had in a number of years, minus the Roman Reigns booking. And I wrote this article on WWNation.com. Minus the Roman Reigns booking. When you first, because I was there in Columbus when they did the whole drawing thing, and when they made Roman Reigns the number one choice, I immediately said, okay, well, this is a horrible idea. This idea is just horrible, and why in the world would you make Roman Reigns the number one pick, the number one entrant? This basically is Philly all over again. And I don't know who's in charge of Roman Reigns' booking. I have no clue. But how in the world would it go all the way down the line to and being approved by Vince McMahon to go out and be written and be exposed to the fans? Why in the world does that happen? It shows very clearly that it's not necessarily Roman Reigns. It's Roman Reigns' booking, the reason why people don't like him. And it has, you know, and it's sad because Roman Reigns, you know, he doesn't have really anything to show for that. He can't really say much. He's at that point. He's not at Cena status. He can't just say something and just expect for, you know, people to listen. However, I would say that it's about time. He knows if they're going to make him the guy, the heir apparent. Why not now? You know, Roman Reigns decided to say something and say, Vince, you know, listen, this is horrible booking. This is horrible booking, and something needs to be done. Why would you make me the number one entrant and expect people to cheer me? With the whole leave and come back thing, as if people were going to cheer when he came back. Oh, my goodness, such horrible booking. And the fact that Roman Reigns was cheered heavily towards the end of the year last year goes to show that with correct booking, people can get behind Roman Reigns. He can be your guy. He can be Vince McMahon's guy. And people can get behind him and cheer for him like they did. You know, you got to the point where Chicago was cheering him. Philly was cheering him. You know, New York was cheering him. And so three of the smarkiest audiences cheering for Roman Reigns at the end of the year last year goes to show that with proper booking, people will get behind Roman Reigns. However, you know, you hit the reset button, and now somehow Dean Ambrose being inserted in the picture helps things. I don't know. But I had a pretty interesting tweet last week. When Dean Ambrose was at the end of the when he was at the end, when he was the runner-up, you know, I said, I can't think of it verbatim, but paraphrasing, I said something to the nature of, you know, Triple H and Dean Ambrose, the last two people, being the last two people of the Royal Rumble, equals we're going to give the marks what they want just to snatch it right back from them. And I said, well played, WWE. That's basically what it was. You just give the marks what they want. Dean Ambrose is at the very end, just to say, oh, let's eliminate him. Let's take away, you know, your hopes and dreams and have Triple H win. But I was fine with it. I think, you know, AJ's debut as 3 was good just because it gives him time in the beginning to shine, and it wasn't a lot of people there in the ring to kind of mess up his entrance. So it was good. There wasn't a lot of fluffy surprises, which makes sense. Because it was for the title. Jericho lasted over 50 minutes, so that was strong for him. So, yeah, it was good. I mean, the Royal Rumble as a whole, I was satisfied with it. I don't think that there was a lot of negative spots to it, other than Charlotte no-selling. That was the worst thing in all of the Royal Rumble, was Charlotte no-selling the bank statement. You come out... First of all, you beat Becky Lynch. It was a hard-fought fight. And instead of selling injuries from Becky Lynch, you attack her afterwards, which doesn't make sense. So Sasha Banks comes and kicks Becky Lynch, which I still don't understand why they would do that to Becky Lynch. They need to protect her as much as possible. So you have a bank statement, and she cranked that thing. And you have Sasha Banks celebrating. And within seconds, Charlotte was on her knees about to get up. And then they do another shot. And she's outside with her belt strapped over her. And... she's walking, and I was just livid how they would just miss that spot. She should have been laid out on the ground. She should have sold the bank statement. Sasha Banks returned, and she cranked that thing. And she's, I'm just walking. I'm just upset and just walking, you know, walking by. That was just absolutely poor selling. And that would if I was a coach in the back, that's something that I would have made such a huge emphasis about after that segment, because you cannot afford to no-sell stuff like that. Every moment counts. You can't afford not to no-sell things like that. That was just absolutely horrible. Other than that, the pay-per-view was good, but that was the worst part of the pay-per-view to me.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you talk about, you know, her coach. Well, I mean, probably her coach, more or less, is Ric Flair. I mean, Ric Flair should have given her the tongue-lashing of her life. I mean, just absolutely just disgrace her. Say, how could you do this? I mean, especially on one of the biggest stages of the year. You don't hear anybody else talk about that, really. So, I mean, obviously, I mean, Ric Flair should have really laid into her. However, yeah, this Royal Rumble is probably the best one I've seen in 10, 15 years. I don't really have any other problems with it. You know, the match itself was great. Triple H winning again. I mentioned last week with the 2 seconds that we had after the Billy Gunn episode that I understand it. I get it. If this is going to be his final, you know, moment in the spotlight as far as being an in-ring performer, that's great. I get it. With the Ambrose being in there, makes the Smarks happy. It's just kind of one of those things that I was okay with. Any other time, depending on who it was, I would have had a problem. But again, the people involved pulled off a really great match. AJ Styles showcased what he can do, and especially last night on Monday Night Raw, he did a great job. So far with his spots, I've been happy with. The Royal Rumble match, again, the matches in between, before the Royal Rumble were greatly executed. Kevin Owens and Dean Ambrose match was great. So it was a great pay-per-view to start off 2016. Looking forward to Fastlane and up the road to WrestleMania. So so far, so good. And the whole thing with Charlotte and Lynch, again, that kind of put a damper on things, but not too much to where you couldn't enjoy the rest of the night.
Yeah. Trivia. Who is known as the Colossus of Boggle Road? Who was known as the Colossus of Boggle Road? How about that one? All right, and as far as the Rock or Raw is concerned, I think that was I liked it. And here's the thing. I'm not a Rock guy. I've made that very clear. I'm not a Rock fan. You know, I think he's dated in most of the stuff that he does. You know, it's Attitude Era stuff. People complain about Chris Jericho's stuff, but The Rock does the same stuff. And, you know, the whole finally and if you smell and, you know, he was doing that stuff almost 20 years ago. So, and it people liked it then and people still like it. But I'm not that guy. I wasn't that guy who liked The Rock's antics. I didn't like The Rock. I liked The Rock for a little bit back then, but for the most part, I couldn't stand The Rock. So, him coming back last week on Raw, I actually liked it. I liked The Rock's moment there. The off-script stuff was funny. So, yeah, I mean, he's good on the stick, and he's been good on the stick, but you know, I think the fact that he gave a really, really good injection to just the Raw that's been so lackluster for so long, for many years as a whole, and it was good. The whole backstage camera brought a kind of celebrity excitement, suspense feel to it, which was good. And so, yeah, it was good. I was very impressed about it. And, you know, the rest of it all was decent. But the Rock's addition to it was really fun. And it was great that the New Day got that spot with the Rock. But that was pretty funny. And so, yeah, it was good, man. It was a good, definitely a memorable Raw that I liked pretty much.
I was kind of torn on it. I like The Rock, but it seems like whenever they bring him back anymore, it's just a cheap pop, something easy for them to do. I mean, he goes on 10, 15, 20 minutes, and again, does his old shtick, and, you know, again, it's to focus more time on your current talent I know The Rock's big and he's always going to be a huge fixture in the WWE, but again, it's if he's not promoting himself as far as he's got a match coming up or something, it's just kind of dead water. And it's really didn't really add much to anything. I think they could have done fine without it. But again, it's you get that big pop at the beginning. Hey, it's The Rock, and then it just gets old. It gets kind of boring and stale after the fact. So, yeah, I love to see The Rock, but again, they don't need to do that.
Nice running conversation here as far as the worst no sales. That's a flavor of the week topic, but I think that we'll talk about that. I think we'll talk about that now. I mean, there's nothing. You know, we'll just skim through Raw, but the worst no sales. I mean, of course, the finger poke of doom. I always remembered the Lex Luger Bruiser Brody cage match. Brody, man, I mean, he did not sell for Luger at all. And, yeah, it was horrible. Of course, when Jake Roberts was not as emotionally stable as he is now, the indie show when he was intoxicated was quite sad. And that was a horrible no-sell. And, of course, Scott Hall, too, when he was in the same situation and just no-selled. They were influenced, heavily influenced from a chemical standpoint. So the worst non-chemically influenced sale. Yeah, I remember Brody and Luger. That was one of the ones I remember. I'm trying to think. Hogan didn't sell the Warrior Splash that well at WrestleMania 9. He actually, it seems like he tried to protect his character and did the whole kick out, you know, kick out at 2.5, but he didn't catch. He tried to kick out at 2, but he missed it, and then he, you know, when he kicked out of Warrior Splash, he did the whole why me thing. And, you know, Hogan, man, I tell you, Hogan was a funny guy, man, because he did everything in his power to try to protect his character in the 90s. I mean, he would kick out, you know, his threes weren't threes. He really didn't get pinned that really any time, because he would still try to kick out, and he would kick out. He wouldn't kick out in time. That was Hulk Hogan's three counts. And so Hogan was notorious for no selling. But can you remember any specific no sell moments?
Basically, I was just going to say the WrestleMania 6 Hulk Hogan Ultimate Warrior. I mean, both of them were, I think, kind of guilty of that. I mean, the match itself was okay. I mean, as far as Hogan pretty much having to carry the Ultimate Warrior, which, you know, we hear a lot of that going on with anyone who fought the Ultimate Warrior. But, yeah, I mean, just the splash and everything, it was just, at the time, I mean, I was all about it. Going back later, watching it, and it's like, man, this was just probably some of the stiffest no-selling match of all time. I don't really remember the Brody Luger match. I remember hearing about it, but, again, I didn't have cable and stuff like that back in the 80s, but yeah, I would have to say WrestleMania 6, the main event, was probably, going back and just watching it just step by step, the whole thing was just kind of a mess. And you know, they were both trying to protect their character as well as Hogan, obviously, but yeah, I mean, he hit the nail on the head with that one.
Yeah, we got a comment here. Didn't Hogan make a hand gesture to the ref that he thought was too good? Yeah, he did. Oh, man. I'm so glad someone reminded me of that, because that was that makes it even that much funnier, because, oh, man, that's Hogan for you, man. That's Hogan 90s for you. It was two, brother. You know, just, oh, man, it's funny because, you know, we were kids then, you know, in the 90s, in the early 90s. And it's, it's funny, 20 over 25 years later, you know, to talk about these things because, you know, back then we're like, yeah, Hogan, you're right. You know, it was too. You know, but, you know, we're now in our mid-30s, you know, we're saying, you know, hey, listen, Hogan, you know, it's, yeah, come on, man. You did everything you can to protect your character. And, of course, the pin with Sting, that was just the weirdest thing ever. And I heard some backstage stuff about that, about the whole, because it was the whole Sting pin. It was just, that was just really, really weird. I remember another no-sell was the guy who was wrestling Perry Saturn. I don't remember his name. But he was wrestling Perry Saturn, and oh man, he no-sold Saturn, and Perry Saturn got quite upset about that, and because of his no-selling, he gave him a pretty mean receipt. And for those listening live, let me know what that guy's name is. Yeah, I don't. Mike Jones, maybe? Mike Bell, possibly? I think something Mike Bell or something like that. Mike Bell. Yep, Mike Bell. Yeah, so, yeah, that was a pretty mean receipt there. So that was a very interesting no sale. Yeah, pretty interesting. Last week was Listener's Choice, a flavor of the week. So go ahead and throw out some topics, and we'll make it that this week too. We'll make it a listener's choice flavor of the week. Actually, for the next few weeks, we'll make it a listener's choice flavor of the week. So if you're listening live, just throw out some topics, and we'll talk about those topics during the flavor of the week segment. We didn't have enough time last week to do it because of the interview. So, yeah, listener's choice the next few weeks. Listener's choice flavor of the week. So see how it goes, and I'm sure that'll be fun. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get to Raw. First of all, before we get to Raw, let's take a stroll down memory lane. We have so many amazing listeners. We get about 8,000 listeners weekly. And that's not counting any other social media outlets that are using the podcast and other different podcast stations that are using the podcast through Blog Talk Radio. But yeah, so I mean, we get such a wonderful, wonderful fan base of support, and there's so much to talk about as far as memory lane. So let me know, Derek, your Pancakes and Power Slam story that's memory lane worthy that you can let the people know about.
Oh, man, there's been a lot. I'm trying to think. A really good one for me that I really had to work to harder than I typically do, because obviously it's your flagship show, was when Eli Drake was on here, because Eli Drake was obviously we roommates together and stuff like that. And to bring him on here and have you interview him, and just the interaction that we had through your social media and everything, just really put a big smile on my face, almost like a coming home type of moment for me personally. Mm-hmm. And good news, he's wanting to come back on, so we'll have him back on here in the next few weeks or so. However, I mean, just to have that and to hear about, you know, his time that he was with the HWA at the same time I was, and the whole, you know, stories and stuff like that. I mean, to me, that was a lot of fun. That was a more recent memory. I think that was only like last July, sometime last summer. But for me, I kind of, you know, I had to get everything set up and get it going, get the production crew and everything ready here in the studio. So that was a lot of fun to bring him on there because he's a personal friend of mine. And for just the interaction and everything, the show went off without a hitch. He enjoyed it. The audience enjoyed it. You enjoyed it. I mean, to me, that was a lot of fun. Other than just being a part of the Pancakes and Power Slams family, you know, every week's a different adventure. It's a different, you know, you wake up Tuesday morning, it's like it's Tuesday. Tonight, it's, the show's going to be on. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome, wonderful. And whoever we're interviewing, you know, 9 out of 10 times, it's always going to be an awesome, great time. And But for me, that one particular memory was that night we had him on. It was great. And so, you know, that was a lot of fun. And, you know, I had a ball doing it and having a little more than just my index finger in it. I had my hand in that one. So that was great.
That's true, man. That was your deal. That was your doing, bringing in Eli Drake. So, I've got so many, man, I tell you. But, you know, I'm definitely not one to be prideful about my journey in any sense at all, anywhere. And, of course, everyone knows that I am in PhD. I'm a PhD student right now. And it should be next year that I'll be a doctor. So, I've had a lot of fun journeys with that, but I tell you what, man, I've had so many funny. Oh, come on, TBM, King of Rock and Roll. I got it. That one. That comment was worthy of giving you a special shout out. He says, "What's the difference between PNP and Raw?" PNP has no bad episodes. That was probably one of the best comments that I've heard in the history of Pancakes and Power Slam. So thank you very much there. Let me tell you something very, very interesting. So now, you know, studio, like I said, my house down, there's a studio that I have. And it's great. I love it. And it's the setup is awesome. And the studio setup is great, and it's my personal fun lair, okay? And so that wasn't always the case. And beforehand, I had a townhome, and there was a studio. I had a studio setup, but it was smaller, much smaller, and shared. But yeah, there were always. I mean, I wanted to really make it serious. I was so serious about making this a consistent show. You know, it's kind of like Raw. When Raw was the winter storm last year, when they had to shut down a Raw, they still had a Raw. It was like a recaps and interviews and things like that. They still wanted to make it a weekly episodic show. And that's exactly how it was and still is with the Pancakes and Power Slams. We have really went 201 straight weeks. We have not missed a single week since the inception of the show in the spring of 2012. So in that time, I've had back surgery. I've had gallbladder surgery. I've had stomach flus, bronchitis. I've had two kids, and so even with that, we just continued to keep the show running. And there was one time where it was really cold and it was stormy and it was just really, really chilly, and my setup at home was not working, and my Wi-Fi was shut down, so I couldn't get, you know, I couldn't get the internet. So I was just trying to just squirm and just trying to figure out what to do. Like, I'm having this show. This was 2012, and so I was thinking, I have to have this show. I don't care what, you know, what to do. I mean, I don't care how it's going to be done. By 11 o'clock, the show will be all in the air. And and I went to a Tim Hortons, and because I was trying to figure out what to do, I had to have the show. And I went to a Tim Hortons, and I drove with, please don't tell me you weren't in the delivery room so you could be here with us. That is absolutely not true. Derek and or Ryan was sure to, there was probably 1 or 2 weeks where I was gone either with the vacation or something of that nature. It was, I think, you know, what's so funny, that's an interesting comment because if I'm not mistaken, my youngest, you know, 'cause he turned 1 last week, he was, born on a weekday. I think it was a Monday that he was born, I believe. And Derek and Ryan took over the show that Tuesday, and I called in, and I still managed to call in that, yeah, that's what it was. He was born on a Monday, and then Derek and Ryan took over the show that Tuesday, and I still called in just for a little bit to, you know, just give people a status update and just, you know, make a comment. But, So Tim Hortons. So I went to Tim Hortons, right? And so I was using their Wi-Fi for the show, and I had my tablet at the time. This was 4 years ago. I had my tablet at the time, and I had to get the show. I had to do the show. So I went, and I parked. It was cold outside. It was freezing cold outside. It had to be in the 20s or teens. And so I was freezing. My feet were freezing in my car. And so still managed to do the show. Still managed to get the show. And probably, I don't know, 45 minutes in the show, right? I'm in it. I'm talking. I'm commentating. And all of a sudden, I see police officers go around my car. Side of it, you know, lights on, and just, it was dark, but they had, you know, their lights and the amount of police cars, they surely made it bright at that point of time. So yeah, it was awesome. And so they came and they're like, yeah, so we got a call that you know, just to make sure that everything's okay, because I'm thinking in my head, oh goodness. So I had to put the show on pause, and then I spoke with them, got everything straightened out, and then they left, and I finished the show. So that was the most memorable Pancakes of Power Slams moment that I can possibly personally have, just to show how much I'm committed to serve and to have a wonderful show, the Pancakes and Power Slam show, every week. And the thing is, I was still getting good numbers. I mean, I'm getting even better numbers, better than ever numbers now. But I was getting numbers at that time I was pretty happy about. You know, just started a podcast and I was getting numbers. I was happy about. So, you know, I wanted to make it consistent. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I do remember that, because all of a sudden you're sitting there talking, then you just stopped. And, we'll be right back. What's going on? What are we doing? I'm trying to text you, and of course you can't. You're apprehended by the police, so it's, after the fact, but then after that, he started coming over to my apartment, then we got the studio, and then everything's good now, so.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was, Oh, that was absolutely amazing. Yeah, so, yeah, then for a while, like Derek said, yeah, for a while, my Wi-Fi was down, so I went over to Derek's apartment. And I had a studio before then, and then, like I said, it was smaller, and, you know, I didn't have a house at that time. And, you know, it's, just what consistency does, you know, what consistency and staying power does, because that one very embarrassing, you know, story is definitely worth acknowledging in the Stroll Down Memory Lane 201st episode, because I don't think I've ever shared that before in the show, but live from the backseat of a police car, it's Pancakes and Power Slams. And you know what's so funny? If, you know, if I would have went to jail and had my one call, I would probably call my wife, but yeah, that one call would have been to finish the show. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we're back on air. We're live in, from the Columbus, Ohio jail. So how about Chris Jericho this week? That would have been very interesting. But yeah, that was my favorite Pancakes and Power Slams story. So I hope you all enjoyed it. So let's get to Raw, ladies and gentlemen. We shall be right back.
Bring what you got. The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at it.
Four corners, free. On mine, let's go. The whole squad is making it clear we've taken this year. You know who we are, but you don't know why we're here. So this is where the big boys play. These big boys play like who defies the living God? Get out the big boys' way. Outsiders with the swoop in. We live as kings, you see in us. But our third man waits in the wings. And when the time is right, we shock him with the proper attack. I go for Dolo, but ain't solo. Cut the promo in black. Hollywood, Hendrix, Prizzle, pinning them to the mat.
And I'm Dash Wunderkin with the strength of 100 men, with one intent, to see the will fulfilled of the one who sent his son to give himself. But you rap about your gas and your rags torture, white coffins when I drop a bomb. My mic's awesome, never lost faith. You in all space, you can all skate, suffer but never crippled. No bin walls in my cross face. From here to Saturday raving, anticipating I was frostbit, now I am glacier, mixed with some Vader. Get to hawking with these animals, you and God for my defense. In Alabama, we jamming. That's beautiful. Bobby Eaton, me and Priest, we the dangerous alliance. Nah, the Harlem Heat. Tie the do-rag before we do battle. You're talking sheep. You all what you speak. This too sweet.
Till the number is took back, we repping that work pack. The foundation shaking, no mistaking. Yeah, we shook that. Trust in God, we trust. Pushing forward, never look back. Meekness ain't at all weakness. Some people mistook that. Stamping out this crook rap. He turning the power on the razor's edge, leg drop after a power bomb. Tired of the lies, man, we bringing the truth through. Diligent and fruitful, the owners in our group too. It's good to be king, sold out, this war is brutal.
We playing them war games, our army go move too. You crew, I'm in the Raptors with a bat in my hand, and stand to shatter all your plans so they don't matter. And the grand scheme is that easy. We tag teaming, Steiner brothers, we love it. Demand the win, establish it. It's the clash of the champions.
This is where the big boys play, huh? We ain't here to play.
And because of these awesome conversations, I now want to watch Hogan versus Warrior WrestleMania 6, and that I think I will start laughing so hard when I look at the end and look at the Hogan, you know, kick out, not kick it out of time, but trying to sell it as if it was a two count. I am going to laugh so hard when I watch that, and I'm going to tell everyone about how much I laughed so hard next week. So I'm excited to laugh. I'm excited for a good laugh, and I know that I'm going to have one. You had a comment here. These stories are more interesting than Raw. Greatly appreciate that. That was a very, very nice comment there. So, Derek, let's get to Raw. So, what happened this week?
Monday Night Raw, typical Raw. Wasn't horrible, wasn't great. You start off with Brock and Heyman coming out to talk. And the thing is, Brock Lesnar's, what a difference a year makes. I mean, the guy used to be this legendary human machine. And now he just kind of seems like he doesn't have that same vibe that he had, you know, a year ago. He comes out and he smirks and smiles and does the thing. Paul Heyman goes off. And the Heyman obviously always does an excellent job. But, you know, he goes off and talks. Ambrose comes out, says he's going to win at Fastlane. It was really kind of a pointless thing to start Raw off with. I mean, obviously, you know, Ambrose isn't going to come out and say, oh, I'm scared you're going to beat me up. So, again, that kind of makes Lesnar look, you know, just like another, like a Jack Swagger. No, not that bad, but like a Dolph Ziggler.
Oh.
That's where I was going for. So, for that, not a whole lot. The opening segment was a bit lackluster. Again, Brock Lesnar just seems to have lost a lot of his steam. Kalisto against Rusev. Title match, Del Rio outside, and he's doing commentary. Rusev gets counted out after a big schmoz that goes on, and again, Kalisto wins. He's not going to keep the title, obviously. I mean, nobody ever keeps a title forever, but still not just that believable of a champion to me. After that, Social Outcasts, I'm still trying to get with these guys. The best thing they have going for them, I noticed last night with all my metalheads out there, you had Curtis Axel and Adam Rose, the greatest frontman of all time. Axel Rose was being represented last night, but they ended up losing to the Usos. Usos win. They do their little dance and party. We've mentioned so many times on this show, we're tired of that. We're done with the – and it's not even really face paint that they wear anymore. It looks like some kind of sticker they throw on their face. You ever notice that? It just – it seems like
yeah.
some kind of paper.
Yeah.
They just tape their face, and it just looks ridiculous. Miz TV, we had AJ Styles on there. Miz shoots off the mouth. He doesn't – anything he says anymore doesn't really hold a candle to anything because the Miz is just an absolute waste of time. AJ Styles attacks Miz after being insulted over and over again, which we knew would happen. It kind of went on a little too long. That's where it's, you know, what's keeping AJ from not jumping up and just pounding this guy? Which, I mean, if they have end up having a feud, that'd be great. That'd be a good first match for AJ to just kind of pummel and just pretty much almost be a squash match, I'd think. Charlotte and Brie. You know, Flair tries to distract the ref. Brie ends up getting the win. However, I still don't see Charlotte losing the title anytime soon. I mean, Charlotte did a little better job than what we'd mentioned at the Royal Rumble. However, the whole thing, Divas Division is getting better. It is, ladies and gentlemen, getting better, but it's still at a road where I could almost still get up and use the bathroom or something when they come on. So, because I couldn't do that during a commercial break. You don't want to miss a good commercial. The Big Show against Rowan. Well, Show wins by a chokeslam, which I think is kind of an easy win over someone like Rowan. Obviously, sad news, Bray and Bo Dallas wasn't able to be there last night because of Blackjack Mulligan, their grandfather, is in pretty bad shape. So thoughts with him. That's obviously more important than the lackluster show that was put on last night. Breeze and Titus O'Neil. Obviously, Titus wins. I mean, Tyler Breeze just doesn't. He should have stayed in NXT, stay there, and not even come up to the roster because he's just – there's nothing good going on with that guy. But I can't see anything happening. Ziggler and Owens, however, that was a great match. I really enjoyed that match thoroughly. Surprised Ziggler got the win. Where that leaves Owens at the point, we'll see. I mean, they kind of left that at a part where, you know, Owens can either go up or down. I can still see him being legitimate. They're still holding on to Tyler Breeze, which I do – I'm sorry, Dolph Ziggler, which I do kind of like to see them just keep keeping him a bit in the forefront, be a great upper-mid-card type talent. So they're building him all right. Sasha and Becky Lynch wins. It was Battle of the Dyed Hair and the Weaves. No big thing going on. What I did like was Goldust asked R-Truth to be partners. And if you can remember when Goldust was partners with Booker T., it was awesome. It was just a beautiful chemistry. And you kind of see Goldust going back to his old where he was electrocuted.
Yeah.
And that doesn't really work now. It's kind of irrelevant because that was, you know, 12, 15 years ago. But see where that goes. New Day against Reigns and Ambrose. again, that was a great match. It was a great showcase between the two. Lesnar pops out, F5's Ambrose. It's almost like, is Lesnar's beef more with Ambrose than it is with Reigns? Or, you know, what's going to come out of that? We do have Fastlane coming up here in the 3 or 4 weeks, so that's the road to WrestleMania. Raw, again, it wasn't too bad last night. I mean, it left a lot of open answers, but I do believe that Fastlane could shape up to be a really good pay-per-view.
Yeah, I think so, too. Just, you know, those February pay-per-views for many of them. Oh, next question, by the way. What Olympian was a part of the Heenan family? What Olympian was a part of the Heenan family? One thing that stood out on Raw for me was the goings on between Dean Ambrose and Brock Lesnar. Now, there, you know, Bray Wyatt's a choice. Braun Strowman's a choice as far as Lesnar at WrestleMania. But I tell you what, man, I just wish, and you got two months, so I mean, there's really no excuse. You know, you can still do it. But I just, there was just a part of me, and you know, I'm not really a Dean Ambrose guy, and I've made that very, very clear and very known here on the show. But I tell you what, him being the Intercontinental Champion really helped him, and I like it. But there's a part of me that is interested in a Dean Ambrose versus Brock Lesnar match at WrestleMania. There's a part of me that's interested about that. Now, do you make it for the champion? Do you make it for the Intercontinental title? Now, that is of course, step down for Brock Lesnar, but, known that, you know, if Roman Reigns wins the triple threat match, because Brock Lesnar F5'd, you know, Dean Ambrose, and then Roman Reigns speared Lesnar and pinned Ambrose, you know, you can always do that. You can always kind of say, well, they were the losers, and they can feud, you know, for the Intercontinental title. Or if you want to have, you know, Dean Ambrose drop the title to, like, Kevin Owens or something like that, and have some type of ladder match or some type of multi-person match at WrestleMania for Kevin Owens' Intercontinental Championship. You know, that could be a choice as well. But there's a part of me, because there's nothing slated, you know, him and Ambrose and Jericho is a pretty high consideration. But, you know, that's not really going to put Ambrose over all that much. Even if Jericho's a heel, you know, it's just another Jericho heel turn and another person that he'll lose to. You know, that's really what it boils down to. But Ambrose and Lesnar, I think they can sell. I think they can sell the I'm not afraid of you thing. They can make Lesnar a real, you know, nonsense heel again, just a real mean, aggressive heel again. Triple H saying, you know, ask him if he was soft. That could have planted some seeds. He had five of them at the end of the night. That could have planted some seeds too. So, I mean, there's a part of me that, I mean, if you really want to put Ambrose over, you know, this is the time, you know, going against the Brock Lesnar. I'm not saying beat him, but at the same time, just that match on paper for WrestleMania, it draws some kind of intrigue for me. What do you think, Derek?
Yeah, it's drawing intrigue, but again, it seems like, you know, Lesnar's been there almost, what, since 2012, so he's been there for a while. Ambrose, obviously, I always want to see him do well, fare well. And I'm really glad that Ambrose is getting the up and comings that he kind of, deserves, but he does deserve it. I mean, he's really been doing a great job with his character and his role with the WWE. He's been there since about the same time as Brock, and you know, from the Shield, his transition to a singles performer, and it's, we've been talking about him a lot. And throughout the past, you know, 2015, we're like, well, what? There's nothing left for him to do. He's kind of worn out his welcome. He just kind of comes in and goes out. So kudos to that. I mean, he can make almost anything work, I believe. And Brock Lesnar, I mean, he comes, throws people around and, you know, beats his chest and suplexes. That seems to be all he can really do, a suplex. So, but he does it well. I'll take that. I will not take that away from him. So anything Ambrose will be in whatever match or feud they put him in, he can always make the most of it. And so I do believe that this would be an awesome match. And like I said, it seems like Lesnar's leaning more towards, you know, wanting to defeat and destroy Ambrose than he is Roman Reigns, who he doesn't have the title now, but should have the title here soon, whatever that's going to be. It's just a big tug of war between, you know, who's going to have it after Triple H. So we'll see where it goes. I think Fastlane is going to be a really great pay-per-view, and that just goes on to make WrestleMania that much better.
Yeah, it should be interesting. But yeah, I don't know. I just don't have that. I'm not bought into Dean Ambrose. I'm just not. To me, Dean Ambrose is, he reminds me so much like Brian Pillman. I mean, he's just awesome charisma, very over, but he's kind of like a niche character. Like, I don't see him like as a top guy. And just, you know, his shape is just, he's a skinny, tall guy with jeans and a t-shirt and this with generic music. So, it just seems like there has to be a lot more reconstruction to make me believe Dean Ambrose to be a main event guy. And then his mic, to me, his ring work is a bit overrated. I, you know, just the wacky mind, you can keep it. And, I don't know. I'm one of those guys that don't believe, Dean Ambrose is, he's a good worker. He's a workhorse. He definitely is that. But I'm not necessarily bought into his character and his ring work, and his ring style, at least. Next question. What year did Scott Steiner turn heel? What year did Scott Steiner turn heel and join the NWO? All right, so here we go, ladies and gentlemen. This is, let's just try it. I appreciate all your insight and your fun tonight. We're going to spend this last segment with the listener's choice. This is big. This is the first time we've ever done this in 201 episodes. First time we'll ever do this. So we're reaching out and believing and trusting in the funness and the creativity of the listeners, the live listeners. So listener's choice, flavor of the week. Here we go.
It is now time for the flavor of the week.
The listeners are getting their flavor of the week topic together. Of course, we're going to read a few flavor of the week topics and see which one we will talk about this week. I wanted to mention the Divas Division. It looks like Sasha Banks is making a face turn, and I don't know how I feel about that. I think that the whole legit boss thing, she's a really, really good heel. They are breaking up Team Bad, and I'm not a fan of that either, because what does that do for Naomi and Tamina? They just really, I just really don't see them. Team Bad has really helped them become somebody again. And since Team Bad is no longer, it's really going to be tough to see if they really mean, you know what they're going to do with them, sadly. But you know, this Divas Division is confusing. You know, you want, it's WrestleMania season. You want to stick to a character. You want to stick with them and make it somebody. So I guess they're kind of doing that to push Sasha Banks as the babyface against Raw. And then Brie Bella beat Charlotte, I guess because of the Nikki surgery thing. They just kind of want to have a placeholder match at Fastlane. It's just too confusing. This Divas division is really too confusing. So my question to you, Derek, is when's the last time, well, your thoughts on you know, Banks and Brie and this WrestleMania direction, and then when's the last time that you can say, because you've been very critical of the Divas division for a while, when's the last time that you can say that the Divas division or the women's division was actually exciting to watch?
Well, it goes back to when we had Wendy Richter and Tom DeSteese, and that's way old. Let's see. Honestly, I almost have to say Attitude Era. When you had Tori Wilson and Trish Stratus, Lita, I'm forgetting a bunch of names. Ivory.
Miss Jacqueline. Miss Jackie.
Jacqueline, Jackie, Sable, obviously. Even Sunny didn't really wrestle as much. She was more of a valet. However,
yeah. That
was the last time I can really remember enjoying the women's division. And it wasn't just because all the evening gown match and stuff like that, but you actually had people in there that knew how to perform. That could, you know, you'd be on the edge of your seat watching these ladies just go at it. And there was a lot more passion with them. And it wasn't just, it was, they were just as hard as a lot.
Come on, Nikki!
And
that is the most annoying.
They're so powder puff. It's disgraceful.
Yeah.
And
they
even after the Attitude Era, they knew how to put on a match, how to tell a story. They don't know how to do that anymore. They're divas. They're just too polished and prissy. They want to look better than what they perform. And the women back then were gorgeous. Forget about it. And it was just the women's division back then just wasn't as polished as it is now, as far as we want to look the part, be the part. I mean, the women back then looked the part, but they were the part. They brought the table. They brought it to the table. They tore the house down. And now it's just a bunch of, you know, pillow fights and he said, she said, well, she doesn't do that. She didn't know what she's talking about. Not that. No way. And the answer to the question, Attitude Era, they knew what they were doing with the women's division. They made it awesome. They made it interesting. They made me buy into it. And being a smart, I don't buy into it. I haven't for probably 10, 12 years. It seems like every time I say something about wrestling, so it's, well, 10, 12 years ago. So that makes me an old coot, but again, the women's division just has not been up to par, and it's almost like TNA has got one up on them.
I think. I would say a little bit after Attitude Era, I would say Ruthless Aggression, 2002-03. I still think that they had a pretty decent women's division at the time. They still had, of course, Trish and Lita. And they had decent. And then I think around 06, 05, 06, 07 with Melina, Candice Michelle, Michelle McCool, Layla. That wasn't too bad. Maurice, that wasn't too bad. But just the butterfly titles would really jacked it up. I mean, that's what really hurt the division so badly. So it was crazy. Also, flavor of the week topic. So Brock Lesnar. What was Brock Lesnar's best rivalry to you? Brock Lesnar's best rivalry.
His best rivalry, honestly, probably when recent memory, probably when him and John Cena locked up. I mean, Cena made a believable, at least, again, that was when Brock Lesnar was still this absolute powerhouse fresh off the UFC. To me, that was just really exciting. And for someone like John Cena, who's been the top dog workhorse for so long, come in and lose twice, which was great and amazing. And I love the Undertaker and Brock Lesnar. So, I mean, Brock Lesnar knows how to make the marquee good. And he can't do it by himself. He has to have that top guy to go in there with him. So, honestly, Undertaker and Brock, I think. And John Cena is a close second. Undertaker and Brock. If you want to go back to the day, Brock and Hogan, I wasn't that impressed with Brock when he first came to the WWE. So I want to say Undertaker and Brock and Undertaker and Cena.
Nice. Last trivia question of the night, real quick. Who was the final WCW television champion? Who was the final WCW television champion? I liked Brecken's show. I would say Taking Brock was good, just because Taking Brock was good. The only thing was, I have no idea why still Taker was so apt to put Lesnar over. I mean, I understood then, 2002 and 2003, losing to him in consecutive No Mercy pay-per-views, but I don't know. I don't know what it is about that feud that the only Taker singles win that he got was a screwy finish at SummerSlam last year. So that was, I don't know, it's a bit weird that Taker was prone to put Brock Lesnar over still. You know, I don't necessarily understand that. You want to talk about giving back to the business, you know, Taker really made Brock Lesnar, you know, a star as far as putting him over. And I think giving that back to Taker would have been good. That's the reason why at first I was like, oh, no, I'm so glad this is – please don't have another Taker-Brock match. I'm so glad this is over. But, you know, with the choices that we're getting with Brock Lesnar, I'm hesitantly, reluctantly, but still accepting of one last Brock Lesnar versus Undertaker match. And, you know, I wrote an article to defend Brock Lesnar, but of course that wouldn't be my first choice, of course. And then Brock and Bray, I'm not, that doesn't really interest me that much. It really didn't interest me at all, to be honest. But what does it do for Bray? Is Bray really going to beat Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania? Is Bray Wyatt the person that beats Brock Lesnar? I mean, he beat the streak. He won the streak 2 years ago to set up for a win to put someone over. And will that person be Bray Wyatt? I'm not too sold on that. So and Hacksaw Jim Duggan is the correct answer. Great job. So I don't know. I'm not too big on Brock Bray. And so with the whole Dallas crowd, Dugan, with the whole Dallas crowd and, you know, with the whole Taker thing, I think that the biggest win that The Undertaker can have right now for the end of his career would be Brock Lesnar. And I think that's the only person, because if this is his last match, you don't want to, you know, have him go against like a Kevin Owens or someone like that. People were saying AJ Styles. Absolutely not. No way. You know, you don't want people, you don't want someone to beat Taker, you know, in Dallas's last match, potentially. So, you know, I don't want to see that. There's talks of him and Braun Strowman. I don't want to see that either. So the best person that the Undertaker could go against right now that would help him have that last win and just kind of patch up everything and just kind of close all the chapters would be defeating Brock Lesnar. So that's my pitch. That's someone who I would that's a match that I would be willing to see just kind of like a final chapter ending for WrestleMania. I know I said Dean Ambrose. Dean and Brock would be decent. I'm interested in that, but I would much rather see Undertaker and Brock Lesnar. Nice stroll in memory lane, 2001. Next week we have an interview, an interesting interview next week, so stay tuned for that. And then we have more interviews coming up the pike, so please stay tuned for that. Awesome show as always. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you so much for supporting me and Derek and throughout these 201 episodes. We will continue to make it so much fun and enjoyable for you all. Tuesday nights is the place to be. The Pancakes and Power Slam show is the show to listen to. And we'll continue to make it the funnest premiere episode of Tuesday nights. Ladies and gentlemen, 201 episodes in the books. Till next week, God bless. Goodbye.